Blog Talk Radio.
Make sure someone will bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, some blessings are in him now. Me a dead. If I drink out of the glass, I can't stop her and over. What's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Thank you for tuning in. We have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble. Having faith in the midst of trouble. And our topic tonight is God cares about you, so keep holding on. He cares about you, so keep holding on. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just bless you. We lift up your name on tonight. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you because you love us, you care about us. Lord, and you always have us on your mind. And Lord, tonight as we get ready to study your word, I pray that you would open up our understanding, oh God. I pray for those that will hear this message, Lord God, that you would truly stir up their hearts and their minds. I pray, oh God, that you will encourage someone, Lord, whether they hear it live or hear it after it's been recorded, God. But, Father, whenever your sons and your daughters hear this message, I pray that they will be blessed. Lord, remember that one right now that has been struggling. Lord God, remember that one that has been down. Lord, pick them up right now. Strengthen them. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. As we break bread together, we pray that you would give us hope and give us encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I mentioned, our topic tonight is God cares about you, so keep holding on. I want you to take a moment and just be encouraged tonight. Understand this, that God wants you to keep holding on. He does not want you to be discouraged. He does not want you to be down because of circumstances and situations, but He wants you to be encouraged, to be encouraged. Tonight, our main lesson will be from James chapter 1. James chapter 1, but what I wanted to do is start by looking at the Psalms. I love the Psalms, and I pretty much meditate in at least one or two before I go to bed at night, and one of the things that I love about the Psalms is that it encourages us to praise God. It encourages us to praise God, and I want you to know, friend, that whenever you find yourself in the midst of life's challenges, you must learn how to praise God in the midst of life's challenges. The first Psalms I want to look at is Psalms 145. Psalms 145, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Now, we may as well just read the rest of it, 15 through 21. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Isn't it glorious to know that we can spend time praising God and blessing him? One of the things that I love, when you study the Old Testament, you will find that whenever the Israelites went into battle, that the praisers, the worshipers, they went out first. And that lets me know, and it lets you know, that whenever we find ourselves in any type of battle, whether it is emotionally or whether it is just a struggle with your thoughts, or whether it is a struggle with your finances, whatever the struggle is, the challenge that you find in your life, if you would start every single day by praising God, if you would start your day praising God, and if you would continue throughout that day praising God, you will find that praise does work. Praise does work. You must learn how to praise your way through every situation. I was reading recently about Catherine Kuhlman, and someone was saying a bit about the fact that one of the things that she believed in was praising God. The fact that you had to learn how to praise God despite your circumstances, despite your situation, that you had to learn how to truly, truly praise God. I don't know about you, my friend, but if you could just learn how to praise God, if you could just learn how to take a moment and just bless him. The Bible says, I will extol thee, my God. Whose God is he? He is your God. He is your God, and he expects for you to praise him. He says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Forever. You know, this praising God is just not a momentary thing. Praising God is something that you should have on your lips at all times, that you should bless him. You know, when those Israelites went into battle, you heard the shofar being played. That's the ram-shaped horn. You heard that being played. You saw the praisers with their timbrels, and you saw the people praising God. Why? Because when you praise God, what it tells people is that you already know in advance that you have the victory. You see, a person who is not assured of their victory does not praise God. Matter of fact, when you have a conversation with them, they will say to you, well, I'm just not quite sure how this is going to work out. But a person who has confidence in God will let you know without blinking an eye that they already know that God has already worked this thing out, that God has already fixed the situation. You will not hear them with their eyes cast down, making statements such as, well, I don't know. You will hear them saying concretely that God's will be done and God is already working this out. You see, the Bible declares in Psalms 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, our God is great. Our God is over everything. And so we already know without a shadow of a doubt that we can spend time praising him. Look at Psalms 146. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So there's no doubt that while we're in the land of the living, we should spend our time praising God. While we still have breath in our bodies, we should spend our time praising God. The verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. In whom there is no help. What does that mean? That means that even if we have a lawyer, even if we have a doctor, even if we have a banker, even if we have some kind of investment broker, we should not put our trust in those things, but we should put our trust in Almighty God. Because we understand this, that it does not matter what is going on in the economy, that God has all of that in his hands under control. So we don't put our trust in people who we can see, but we put our trust in God who we know is over everything. Verse 4 says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. And so we see that man, he perishes. You know, we're here just for a season, and soon we're gone from this place. And so we don't put our trust in someone who is flesh and blood like ourselves who's going to perish, but we put our trust in Almighty God. Look at Psalms 147. It says, praise you the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Have you ever seen a beautiful Christian woman who always has a smile on her face? It is such a peaceful thing to be in a grocery store or, you know, going into the gas station to pay for your gas. So wherever you are, and you glance at a person who seems to be a Christian, that person has the most pleasant smile on their face. They look so calm. They look so at peace. The Bible says praise is comely. You can tell that that individual spends time with God. And they look over at you, and they recognize another Christian person, and they smile in your direction. Why? Because when you are a child of God, you can recognize another child of God, and you can see that praise is comely. Praise is something that looks good on a person. You know, so if you have trouble looking good, start praising God, and you'll see that you'll improve right away. Because praise is comely. It makes you look good. You know, it's a wonderful thing to give God praise. The Bible says in verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. A person who is broken in heart, who has gone through divorce or gone through someone hurting their feelings or gone through disappointments in their families, gone through maybe a child running away from home or just not doing the right thing. Anyone who has ever been broken in heart, disappointed with life, will understand that the Bible says that God heals the broken in heart. In other words, you don't have to stay broken in heart. You don't have to stay down and depressed. Why? Because God will pick you up. God will help you to heal. Is it easy to heal when your heart has been broken? No, it is not. It takes, you know, sometimes months, sometimes years. It takes a while to heal when your heart has been broken. But guess what? God says that he does do it. So it is not impossible to bounce back. You know, sometimes I call myself the bounce back kid, and I know many people who bounce back. You know, you've got to be literally like a bouncing ball. Years ago, we used to do something called dodgeball. And I believe in some elementary schools it is something that in gym or what they now call phys ed, that they still do dodgeball. And what dodgeball consists of, you have two people at the very end and you have several people in the middle. And you throw the ball and you attempt to hit them. And what happens is that person, you know, ducks and what have you, and that ball just is constantly being thrown and it's constantly bouncing. Or you could even look at table tennis. Table tennis, doesn't matter how hard you hit that ball is constantly bouncing over to the opponent. And so we see that it doesn't matter how hard life knocks us, at some point in time, we've got to be able to bounce back like that table tennis ball or bounce like that dodgeball. Life should never knock us down so much that we never get back up. We should always understand, as Psalms 147 verse 3 says, that God healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And so whatever wounds you have gotten over the years, because life has just knocked you know, the air out of you, and you've been hit so hard that you had to, you know, literally come up for air, understand this, that your wounds are not too great for God. Whatever you have gone through, that situation is not too hard for God. Whoever has wounded you, forgive them. Let it go. Leave it in the past. Why? Because God says he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Bindeth up their wounds. I understand in first aid that if a person is bleeding, what you have to do is get a piece of cloth and apply pressure to the wound, and when you apply pressure, it stops the bleeding. I'm here to tell you that God is able to apply pressure to your situation, and he can stop the bleeding. Whatever your wound is, whatever you've been going through, I want you to understand that God is able to stitch you up again. God is able to help you through any difficulties that you have gone through in the past. Yes, it takes time to heal. It takes time to bounce back. But I'm here to tell you that you're able to bounce back. You're able to go on with your life. You're able to pick up the pieces of your life and do great and magnificent things. God is good. He is greatly to be praised. And I believe that if you put your trust in God, God is able to help you on tonight. Look at Psalms 147, verse 4. It says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Wow. Isn't that awesome to know that God's understanding is infinite? In other words, he understands everything that we go through. Of course, he created us. He understands everything that we go through. There's nothing that you are going through that God does not understand. There's nothing that you're going through that God does not see, that God does not know. Verse 6 says, the Lord lifted up the meek and he casted the wicked down to the ground. Wow. He lifted up the meek. Well, I hope tonight that I'm among the meek, because the Bible says that he cast down the wicked to the ground. My friend, I hope that you are standing with the meek and not with the wicked. Who are the wicked? The wicked are any who refuse to obey the commandments of the Lord, any who refuse to listen to the voice of God and to do the will of God, who has called all of us to serve him and to give him praise. The Bible says in verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. In other words, use instruments. Use whatever you can. but sing praises unto God and understand this, that God will not leave you nor will he forsake you. But if you would just begin to praise him and bless him, understand this, that God already has everything under control. Look at verse 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And so, do you want to know what God takes pleasure in? God takes pleasure in someone who recognizes that they cannot make it in their own strength, but they can make it in the strength of the Lord. Those that put their trust in God, those that fear him, and the word fear in this context means honor. It means respect. In other words, we respect God enough to give our hearts to him, to give our lives to him. We respect God enough to understand that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, who also rose from the dead for us, and who is now at the right hand of the Father praying on our behalf. God respects those. He takes delight. He enjoys to hear us praising him. He enjoys knowing that we have dedicated our lives to him, and he enjoys us realizing that we need him and that we cannot make it without him. Look at Psalms 148. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye gates of life. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Wow. He commanded, and they were created. So in other words, God spoke it, and it came into existence. And so whatever we're going through, God can speak over that problem. He can speak over that situation. And just the very spoken word of God can move mountains, can move problems. God is the God of heaven and earth. He created all things. He spoke it, and it happened. I want you to know today that your situation is not too great for God. God cares about you, and I want you to keep holding on. Keep holding on. Look at verse 6. He had also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which shall not pass. In other words, what God says, it shall come to pass. And what God has already placed in the process, it's not going to change. So in other words, if God has already spoken blessings over your life, God has already spoken great things over your life, it will come to pass. So no one can change what God has already put in progress. God has already said that you would prosper. God has already said that you would be blessed, and that you would walk in faith, and that you would walk in joy and walk in peace. And so what God has already spoken over your life, no one can undo what God has already said will come to pass. Look at verse 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. I want you to know that God is above all things. Notice that he even makes references to kings. In other words, he expects rulers of countries, kings, queens, presidents, rulers of nations, he expects everyone to acknowledge that he is God. Now, do they always acknowledge that he is God? No, they don't. But the bottom line is that one of these days, everyone will acknowledge him. So don't worry about those who do not acknowledge God now or those who choose not to serve him or not to praise him, because one of these days, everyone will look up and see and will know who God is. Everyone will stand before God on judgment day. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And in the book of Revelations, it said he saw, John the Revelator said he saw both small and great stand before God. And so we realize that all of us will stand before God and be judged for the things that we have done on this earth. So don't worry about those who will not acknowledge God right now. But you acknowledge God in your heart. You acknowledge God in your family. You put God where he belongs first and foremost in your life, because God is still God. He is still in control. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your family. And you are not alone. Sometimes it might seem like you are alone, but you are not. The Lord gave me a little chorus. One of these days I recorded. But the words were something about, you know, me not being alone. And sometimes it does seem as if you're alone, but you're not. God is always with you. He's always there to strengthen you. And he sends his angels to stand guard around us. And I'm so thankful that his angels always come and stand guard around me, stand guard around my daughter and around family and friends. I just thank God that he watches over us. Even when we don't realize that he is watching over us, he really is. Friend, be encouraged and realize that God is watching over you and that God cares about you. Hallelujah. Let's just take a praise break. Father, we just bless you. We lift up your name. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you for the Psalms that were written to encourage us, to praise you, to magnify you. Lord, we thank you for all your word, that your word is truth. We bless your holy name. Amen and amen. Let's look again at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, our main lesson, or shall I say, maybe our second lesson for today, James chapter 1. And this section is entitled, Keep Holding On, Keep Holding On. The Bible says in James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye shall fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means God doesn't change. Neither shadow of turning. of his own will begat he us with the word of God of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. I read James chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 17. Now, I remember years ago when I started out, church sisters used to pull you aside and they would sit you down and share with you all the rules of the church, what you could do, you couldn't do, et cetera, et cetera. And while they were training me, what stuck out in my mind was, hold on. The older sisters in the church used to share what they went through with you. And they did it not really to scare you, but to let you know that if they could do it for so many years, you could too. In other words, it might seem as if the challenges of life become overwhelming, but they're not overwhelming. In other words, God gives you the tools that you need to hold on. He gives you the tools that you need to continue being a Christian. So don't allow the things of this world to knock you down and to knock you out, but keep moving on, keep holding on. Remember I said at the beginning of this broadcast that God cares about you, so keep holding on. So the word hold from the Webster's Dictionary means to have and to keep in one's grasp, to maintain in a certain position or relationship. That was the first one. The second one is to have and maintain in one's possession, to maintain control over, to retain or to defend by force, to impose control or restraint upon. Now, I want to look at those definitions for a minute. When I tell you to keep holding on to God, what I'm saying is to maintain your position in God. Don't ever let a bad situation or the economy or life in general or another individual, don't ever let that person have you change your position in God. In other words, your faith should never falter. Whatever it is that you face, your faith should never falter. The Webster said to keep in one's grasp. Now, I was just watching a football game, and I don't know how many, you know, of you might like football, but I was just watching a football game, and it was a show about someone trying to save some youth that were in some kind of detention center. And they utilize football to try to reach these youth so that when they get out of being incarcerated or out of this detention center, you know, it was something to entice them to not go back to the drugs or to whatever it is that they were doing on the street. And that program was very effective in reaching those youth. But one of the things I noticed about the football game was the fact that in order to have your team get that yard, whatever it was, whether it was the 20 yards or whichever yard it was, when a person was knocked down while running with the ball, they had to hold on very tightly to that ball, because if they release that ball while going down, then actually the other team could grab the ball and hold it, and then it would be counted for their team. And so if they wanted the points to count for their team, they had to hold on as hard as they can to that ball. And that told me that if we are serious about our faith in God, whatever we're going through, we must hold on with all our might to God. We must not release him because of stress. We must not release him because of bills. We must not release him because of relationships. We must not release him because of backbiting or gossip. Whatever it is that we are facing, we must still know how to hold in our grasp the faith that we have in God. And I want to encourage you, if you've never looked up in a dictionary the definition of the word hold, I would encourage you to get yourself a dictionary and look up the word hold, because it says to maintain in one's possession and to retain or defend by force. My God, to defend by force. Can you imagine if Christians all over this world were to let people know that I'm a Christian, there's nothing that you could say to move me, to change my mind, to stop me from loving my God, from serving my God, from being victorious. I'm a victorious Christian. I love God. I will hold on. I will stand. Doesn't matter what happens in this world. We know that this world is getting worse and worse. The morals are getting worse, and the morals are decaying. Our world is decaying morally. We know that. And because we know that, it is imperative that we know what we believe and that we know what we stand for. And so like a football player trying to make a touchdown, we must be able to hold on to our faith as if we're holding on to a football trying to make a touchdown. Oh, I know our sports fanatic will appreciate this. In understanding that God wants us to make a touchdown. God wants us to serve him as if we are running for that touchdown, and we are going to make it. Doesn't matter who blocks us, who tries to knock us down, we're going to run for our life as if we're trying to make a touchdown. I appreciate, you know, watching a game, you know, when I know and understand the game. You know, I don't watch football that much, and so I don't understand all the rules, but I understand when I see the guy running towards for a touchdown. I understand at least that much, that when you have a goal in mind, you must not allow yourself to be sidetracked from that goal. When you have a goal for your life, you must not allow the enemy of your soul to sidetrack you, to get you off track so much that you forget to seek the face of God and understand that you're in the battle of the Lord, and that God fights your battles for you, but you must be well armed. How can you be well armed in this battle? You must be well armed with the word of God. You must hide it in your heart. You must seek God in fasting and in prayer. In other words, don't allow your armor to be broken into. You must keep yourself so fortified that whenever any negative thoughts come into your mind, you can easily get it out of your mind with the word of God, because you have been reading the word of God. You have been studying the word of God. You understand it. You're praying over it. You're asking God to help you to understand it more. And you're seeking God in such a way that it does not matter what the enemy brings against you. You know that you're counting it all joy to know that you're able to go through this situation. I want to give you some more definitions of the word hold, and it looks like I might have to continue this lesson again tomorrow in our next study, because I've only gotten to a part of this, and I just love this study, because one of the themes that I have used in my life for the past 25 or so years is hold on. Hold on, my sister. Hold on, my brother. Hold on a little while longer, because God has great things in store for you, and you should never, ever, ever give up. The word hold, I'm still looking at the Webster's definition of the word hold, and it says to impose control or restraint upon. Impose control. So in other words, I'm not just doing any and anything, but I'm imposing some kind of control upon my thoughts, upon my body. I'm just not letting myself hang loose, but I am, you know, when I have thoughts come into my mind that don't need to be there, I'm rebuking them in the name of Jesus. I'm asking God to take authority over my mind, and I am making sure that the things that go through my mind are things that are pleasing to God. The things that come out of my mouth are things that are pleasing to God. I'm making sure that God is priority in my life, and that first and foremost, before I do anything else, I am asking God, Lord, what is your direction? How should I go with this, and what do you want me to do? Look at the next one. It's the continuing with the definition, to consider or believe, to assert or affirm. Can you imagine that the word whole means to affirm? So in other words, I'm affirming my faith in God. When I hold on, what I'm doing is affirming my faith in God. So in other words, I am fortifying my faith in God when I hold on. I'm saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm affirming my belief, Lord God, that you already have everything under control. It says to have or occupy a position. To hold, I'm occupying a position. To maintain a grasp, to adhere closely. So when I'm holding on to God, I'm sticking as close to God as possible. That's what it means when I say I'm holding on. As close to God as I can, I'm walking with him. That means that every day I'm meditating, I'm praying. Every breath that I take, I'm meditating on God. Every breath that I draw, I'm saying, Jesus, I thank you. I praise your name. I bless you. Now, some people might call that fanatical. Some people might say, well, why does everything you talk about have to be about God? And why is it that you are constantly having to talk about Jesus? Well, if you study great theologians, let's forget what I just said. Let's change that. Let's say even an insurance guy. Let's bring it home to us. If you talk to an insurance guy who's trying to make his quota for the month, every other word out of his mouth is going to be, will you please buy this life insurance? Ma'am, I can give you a policy for $200,000, for $500,000. It's going to cost you this much. Now, if you catch him at his house when he's relaxing with his wife, he might not say much, but if you catch him when he's on the job, he is going to tell you all about insurance, and every other word is going to be trying to convince you to buy insurance. Any person that is dedicated to their profession is going to talk nonstop about what it is that they're trying to sell you, what it is that they're about. If you talk to an NFL player who's a football player, they're going to tell you all about football. They're going to talk football. They're going to talk scores. They're going to talk touchdowns. They're going to talk all about what they are, you know, what is most uppermost on their heart, what they're passionate about. If you're passionate about serving God, it's going to be uppermost on the in your mind, and it's going to be on the tip of your tongue. And if that's fanatical, then fine. That's okay. I would rather be fanatical for God than to be a person who does not have any goals or any ambition at all for God. And so, my friend, people might call you fanatical once you get a real hold of God, and once you really understand the call that God has on your life, and once you really understand your purpose for being here on this earth, people might call you fanatical, but that's okay. That's okay, because I'd rather be a fanatic for Christ than to live a life of hopelessness, to live a life where I don't even know where I'm going when I die. Christians know where they're going when they die. They know that when they leave this place, that they will spend eternity with Jesus. Today, make a commitment to Jesus. Understand this, that God cares about you, he loves you, and he wants you to keep holding on.
The word hold also means to stand up under stress. To stand up under stress. To stand up under stress. That's what the word hold means. You know, it's amazing how you could take one word and just get so many things out of it. But that word means to stand up under stress. So when I hold on to God, and sometimes you've heard people testify, I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. What they're saying is, I'm holding on to God despite my situation, despite what is going on in the world around me. I am holding on to God. God is my strength. God is my rock. God is my strong tower. God is my all in all. I am holding on to God because I know that He is helping me right now. I know that He's encouraging me right now. I know that He's giving me strength right now. And I want to encourage you to make it your business every single day to talk to yourself like that. Encourage yourself. Say, girl, I know that you're going to hold on. Man, I know that you're going to hold on. Encourage yourself. When there's no one else around to encourage you, encourage yourself in the word of God. The Bible says in verse 2, James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Sometimes our faith is tried, but we understand this, that God is trying to teach us some patience. I don't know about you, but lately God has been teaching me some patience. I am in the learning stage. After 25 years, I am still learning. I am still learning. We are lifelong learners. God should be able to teach us something new every single day. Every single day we should be able to learn something from God. We should be able to open up the Word of God and see God speaking to us and God opening up our hearts and our minds. And we should be able to see that God is still who He says He is, that He still loves us and He still expects us to stand up under stress. He still expects us to maintain our grasp on Him. He still expects us to keep holding on. This word hold had seven definitions coming out of the Webster's Dictionary. And number five in that definition said to keep at, to continue, to last, to continue to resist. I'm going to continue to resist the enemy when he tries to get me to go back to my old ways. I'm going to keep at my faith. I'm going to keep holding on to my faith in God. What about you, my friend? Do you have faith in God? Continue to hold on to your faith in God. Continue to resist the plan of the enemy to make you lose hope. Continue to resist the enemy when he tries to get you to do some things that you should not be doing. And number six in that definition was to hold to remain loyal or faithful to. And so the word hold on means be faithful to God. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be loyal. Doesn't matter if you see some very strong Christians fall. We're getting into that stage right now in the world where we will start to see great leaders, icons in the church that you would never expect these people to fall, that they will lose faith and begin to turn away or become apostates in the faith. But it does not matter who does not remain loyal. You must remain loyal. You must understand that God loves you. He cares about your family. Hold on to God because God is making a way for you. And the last definition in hold is to have complete control, get control of life, et cetera, et cetera. So when you hold on, what you're saying is, God, I am keeping control of my life. I'm allowing you to continue to help me, and I know that you have complete control over my life, and I don't have to worry. I can just relax and trust you, God, because you have control of my life, and I am sticking to that definition of the word hold, which means to have complete control. God, you are in control. It doesn't matter what it looks like, Lord.
It doesn't matter what it seems like. Lord, you are in control of my life, and I am trusting you right now. My friend, are you trusting God? Do you understand that everything that has happened in your life was for a reason, was for a purpose? You might not know why. There's some things in my life I might not understand why, but God knows. He understands, and he cares about you. God cares about you. Keep holding on. God cares about you. Keep holding on, my friend. You might not understand it. One of these days when you get to heaven, you can ask God all about it. But I want to encourage you today to keep holding on. James said that you might not be happy when you get tried. You know, there's a slang. When someone bothers you, the person says it's a vernacular among, you know, loose speaking. It says the person tried you. It's an ethnic term. When a person says, when you says the person tried you, what you're saying is that they tried to pull something over, like the wool over your eye, and they tried to misrepresent themselves to you, or they tried to trick you. And so when the enemy tries you, in other words, he tries to get you in such a mindset that you feel like giving up, you've got to be able to go back to the Word of God and say, I know this, in verse 3, James chapter 1, verse 3, I know this, that the trying of my faith worketh patience. So plug yourself in there and understand that the trying of your faith does work patience. In other words, you might be tried, but understand that God is teaching you patience. And if you would just be patient with him, he is taking care of you. He's working things out for your family. And I hope that you know that without a doubt, God loves you. He cares about you. And I guess if you want to hear this over and over, just keep listening to these teachings, because every single day that I'm able to record, I will be telling you over and over and over again how much God loves you, how much he cares about you, and the fact that you are not alone in this world, and the fact that God created you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. And he has a plan for your life. If you don't know what it is, pray about it and ask God to help you to understand why you are here. And I want to leave you once again with our thoughts for every day. Persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. God bless you. And I hope you enjoyed studying with me on tonight, and I want to pray with you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I want to invite you today to ask Jesus to come into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father, we bless you. We lift up your holy name. We magnify you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for all those who are listening to my voice at this very moment. I thank you for that man or that woman that is praying with me. I thank you for that child that might be hearing this message at some point in time. Lord, I bless you for this family. I pray, oh God, that families everywhere will be blessed, will be restored. I thank you, Lord God, for nations that you're touching right now. I thank you, Lord God, for the pastor in Iran that you're remembering right now, God, and pastors around the world, God, that at the expense of their life, oh God, not knowing whether they will live or die, they are still preaching the gospel and still teaching the gospel around the world. I pray, oh God, that we would get a zeal to preach the gospel, that we would get a zeal for souls, O God, that are dying, that we would get a zeal, O God, to once again tell the world about Jesus. I pray, O God, for that one that is trying to make up their minds to serve Jesus. I pray, O God, that they would make up their minds today. Today is the very hour, Lord God. Today might be our last opportunity, O God, to accept you, because tomorrow is not promised to us. Today, now is the acceptable time to serve Jesus. Father, you called us. You ordained it so that we should be like Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you. And we confess our sins to you, Lord God. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God. Help us, Lord God, to put you first in our lives. And, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, I hope that you prayed with me, and I pray that you would understand that you don't need to give up. Hold on a little while longer, because God has great things in store for you. This is your year to be blessed. This is your season to be blessed. This is your moment. This is your time. God has great things on the horizon for you. If you would just open up your spiritual eyes, you will see that God is about to bless you. Oh, I don't know where it's coming from, whether it's coming from the north, the south, the east, or the west. But wherever it's coming from, beloved, just wait and see. God is about to bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, we just give you glory, honor, and praise right now, Lord. We thank you. We magnify your holy name, Jesus. We lift thee up. Lord, we just say thanks to you right now. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Right now, I want you to hear a song, and I believe I started it one day before, but I want you to hear a little bit of it. It's called Higher, Higher. Help me to lift Jesus higher. Shekinah glory.
Anybody ready to get dancing for the Lord in the house today? It's okay to dance. It's okay to shout. It's okay to express your love to the Savior. It's okay.
Second chance to blessed.
Blessed. are running out of blessings already.
And appointed.
Imagine God that I have a task for all of us to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, happy peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just so be disappointed.